little experiment. You may not be aware of it, but I get here early, not that early, but before you, and I sit there, and I affirm that when I come up here and I look out there, that there are a lot more bodies. And guess what? God answers prayer. So the title of the talk is Believe Your Prayers. Ernest Holmes, who penned the book, The Science of Mind, said that prayer is its own answer. So what does this really mean? What do these statements really mean? The Bible tells us, before they call, I will answer. Before our prayers are framed in words, God has already answered. But if our prayer is only with partial belief, then there is only a tendency towards its answer. And let's say the next day we have one of those troubling days and we think about what we prayed for the day before and then that doubt starts to creep up. Then guess what? The prayer will not be answered because you just canceled it out with the thought of doubt. Prayer, in its truest sense, is an alignment. It's a unifying process which takes place in our minds. As our mind reaches to the ethers, to our divine self, our higher self, and then to that power that is back of all life that we affirm every Sunday. We say that there is only one power. But I want to create this imagery in your mind because I understand the importance of having a mental idea of what is being said so that you embody it much more fully. So if you would, just close your eyes for a moment and just imagine. You're sitting in your seat there, but there is a string that comes from the very top of your crown, and it just goes up ad infinitum. You can even follow in your mind's eye to where it goes, and it just is endless. It never, ever ends. So now bring your awareness right back to that third eye. Consider yourselves the medium. The medium through which law operates. And then at the floor level is the world of effects, conditions, experiences, your life. So you are the conduit to the Most High God. You have the ability to tap into all of its power, all of its glory, all of its knowingness to bring to fruition that which your heart desires. So just thank God right now. Say amen.
Amen.
All right. Come back. Myrtle Fillmore is quoted as saying, when we pray, we commune with the mastermind. We commune with God mind. But that activity, that communion, happens within our own consciousness. So as we pray more, it is through our prayers that we get to know God more. We become just much more aware of its presence, its love for us, its power. And so what happens? That begins to increase our confidence that when we do pray, our prayers, in fact, will be answered. It's because of that relationship, that unification that we have with the Great One. So when we pray, we are drawn inexorably into the divine creative process. So that imagery I had you all just think about, that is symbolic of the way the divine creative process works. At the top, so imagine a V. Above me is just endless. So we know that that is the realm of spirit. V comes down like this. I am right here. I am the medium through which spirit works. And then below are the actual conditions, circumstances, and events in your life. And so how does the creative process work? We ignite the laws with our thoughts. We ignite the laws and give the law energy with our vibration. So it's really important, too, that when you pray, you take on the feeling nature of the thing for which you are praying. So if it's perfect health, you have to go to that place in your awareness and declare and know with every cell and sinew of your being that I am healed, whole, and perfect. And so that message makes an impression upon the universal laws. Everyone knows the law of attraction. I'll talk about that one. And then also people know the law of manifestation. So I'll bring that one into the conversation as well. So we ignite those laws. The thing about the laws is they're impersonal. The thing about the laws is that they're just doers. They don't discriminate. They don't say, oh, I think that's you know, in Michelle's best interest. No, they just do. Based on the command that we have given it through what? Our thoughts and our feeling nature. So it's really important that, and you've heard me say this before, it matters not what you pray for, but rather from where you pray. What does that mean? It's not a physical place. It's a mental place. It's a soul place. It's a spiritual place. It is your consciousness. So if you are praying from that place of knowing that God delivers on its promises, you'll receive manifestation with a quickness. So that's why it's so important that we engage in our spiritual practices to keep us vibrating at that level, thinking at that level. So I want to say a couple of things about belief and faith, because those are the conspirators as well in bringing your prayers to reality. Belief is most certainly a way of thinking. It is an activity in consciousness as well. Belief is a thing of thought, and being a thing of thought, we can change any limiting beliefs that we have at the moment that we choose to do that. Beliefs change, do they not? At one point, how many centuries did we believe that the world was flat until it was replaced with another belief, right? What we believe, I want you to really hear this, decides what happens to us. Our belief is the law of our lives. It's important that we regulate our beliefs, we monitor our beliefs, we guard our beliefs so that what happens to us, for us, through us, with us, is of our choosing and is of our highest good. The apostle said that we should think on, I love this term, whatsoever, things are good, true, and beautiful. So if we're doing that, you all, then doubt, worry, fear, concern, limitation cannot rent space in our minds because it's filled up with good stuff. And you know, good is just another term for God, is it not? So think on those things. And then when you pray, pray believing. So another important idea with regard to empowering our prayer is the idea of faith. Faith in relation to prayer is inseparably linked to understanding and trusting in the divine, to the extent that we willingly cooperate with its purpose for our lives. Now, what this implies is that faith is not a tool. Faith is a way of being. Faith is a way of life. Faith, too, is a mindset. And if we grow our faith, increase our faith, and how do we do that? Through our gratitude. Gratitude for that which we already have. If we live in that place of thanking God for this, and it doesn't hurt to say, and more. When we actually sit down to pray, we're at that vibrational level where we begin to really activate the law of attraction and the law of manifestation. And we become like magnets, bringing into our experience the desires of our hearts. So gratitude is a great practice and a great place to begin to pray from. Give thanks, then pray. So in wrapping up on the piece around faith, what all of this translates into is that we should learn to have faith in our own faith. So what that means, again, it's that place from whence you pray. If I know that my faith is strong and my faith is potent, because you know what? God's been good to me all the time, 24/7, 365. Then we begin to live a wonderful life, you all, and it's a life of freedom. So what am I talking about? I'm talking about being free from worry, being free from concern. And you know, that ages us. So, yeah. And you can tell folks who are worriers. They have this perpetual kind of, you know, wrinkly thing going on. Because they're always concerned and they're always worried. And in Psalm says, worry about nothing. Pray about everything. And so I want to share with you all, if you were in Prosperity Plus with me, then you know the five steps to powerful affirmative prayer. I want to share it with the rest of the congregation. In religious science, we pray scientifically. What does that mean? That means we pray the same way every time we pray. It's a five-step process. The first step is recognition. What are we recognizing? We are invoking our knowingness that God is all there is. There is nothing else, regardless of what might appear to be happening. So we're invoking that knowingness because, see, God's always there, everywhere present. But what we're doing is bringing that knowledge, that knowingness, that awareness right here, right to this present place. So we're recognizing that God is all there is. Then we unify with God. How do we do that? Jesus said, "The Father and I are one." That's all you have to say. You've unified. The Father and I are one. Done. Then you go to step number 3, which is declaration, affirmation, proclamation. Now, I didn't say begging, bartering, negotiating, beseeching. I use very action-oriented words. Why can I do that and do that with confidence? Because of my faith and because of my belief. So I make declarations of that which I want in my life right now. So for instance, I'm sitting there silently waiting for you all to arrive. And I say, there's only one life. That life is God's life. It's a life that I'm living right now. So I've unified. Those are the two steps. God's life is my life. I've unified with God. It's a life that I'm living right now. What was my declaration? When I get up to that podium, the room is going to be a lot fuller than it is now. I'm declaring that. I'm claiming that right here, right now. And then I said, well, thank God. Thank God that my prayer has already been answered. I hadn't turned around and looked to see if it had been, but I knew that it had been. And then I released it. I let it go. I got into the music. So those are the 5 steps. You recognize by invoking your awareness of the power and the presence back of all life. You unify with it. You make your declaration, your affirmation, your proclamation, a claim to that which is yours. Then you thank God, even if it has not appeared in your life as well. You give thanks for it in advance because you're so confident that it is going to come to fruition. And once you've prayed, let it go. Because if you keep thinking about it, then what are you doing? You're canceling out the prayer. So let it go. You know the expression, that's where it comes in, let go, let God? That's what that means. Let it go. Be done with it. So to empower and up-level your prayer practice, consider these things. Pray in the present tense. What does that mean? Act as if you already have it. Know it. Your every need has already been supplied. Because if you pray from that place too, it puts you at a whole different vibrational level because you're not praying from lack, you're praying from enoughness. I got it. The need is supplied. That's a different vibrational level than I need it, right? So you want to always elevate your vibrational level. So act as if. Pray in the present tense. Feel your prayer. Take on the feeling nature, as I said earlier. If you had the thing for which you were praying, feel that. See, first there is the thought. Then there's the feeling. Then there is the behavior. But thought is the antecedent. The emotions are then triggered by the thought. And then you have the experience. Feel your prayer. And keep feeling it long after you've ended the prayer. Just stay in that vibratory place. Live your prayer. Live your prayer. What does that mean? If I want to be more flexible, so I'm praying for more agility, I'm just going to walk around with grace and ease. Living my prayer, being my prayer, you give life to it. And then the logs cannot deny you, you all. They don't reject any of your commands, any of your orders. They act. So give them that which you want them to act upon. You actually create that mode for them. Pray until you experience absolute conviction that it is done. So what that means is you may start praying a different prayer. So you may pray for a thing over here, but you still need to do a little bit more work in your consciousness because you're not at that place where you can act as if. You know what I'm talking about? I had a girlfriend say one time to me, she said, Michelle, she said, I get it about the five steps, but, you know, sometimes I'm not at that place. You know, I want to be healed, whole, and perfect, but I feel lousy. I feel like crap. I can't get there in that feeling nature. So there's another tool. The other tool is what we call denial. You deny that the condition has any power over you. That then becomes the prayer. You deny that the condition has any power over you. So you're not doing spiritual bypass, pretending like it's not there. No, it's there. It exists. I acknowledge it, but I'm not empowering it. So, turn away from the condition. That's what Ernest Holmes tells us. Turn away from the condition. And the Bible says, hey, get behind thee. Same thing. So if you're not at that place where you can really pray in the present, you can really know with conviction, then you need to work on your consciousness. And before you ask for the thing that you really want, you pray about getting your mental state to that level where you can attract that thing. So that becomes your prayer. And so once you are there and you're believing and you're faith-filled and you're knowing, then you pray for that which you desire. And then you have to be attentive. You have to look, you have to observe, you have to listen. Because Spirit will speak to you in different ways, give you some clues that it's coming. That it's coming. Are you recognizing the tendency? Are you recognizing how it is unfolding? It doesn't always just happen like that. Sometimes it happens incrementally. So you have to be aware. And why do you have to be aware? Because you want to give thanks for it every time. There is movement towards the direction that you want to go. I just want to say this in closing, that a prayer without conviction is simply a set of empty words. Creative law acts upon our belief. Creative law gets its instruction from our thoughts, from our feeling nature. These impersonal laws, they do unto us as we believe, and so it is.